Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. And, I mean, it's late at night, so there isn't a ton of traffic here, but I've got to assume that, Wrigleyville is still hopping and that there's still people hanging out, just to guess. You know, it's a Friday night. The game started a little bit late, and so I'm sure the celebration is going a little bit later.
Yeah, there was fuel added to that fire. There was still a lot of people there when I was making my way from Wrigleyville over to the studios here. Was just, there were just people everywhere still. It was just starting to thin out, but the bars were, every place I went past when I was walking back to my car was just jam-packed.
As a general voice of reason, were you tapping people on the shoulder, maybe shaking them and saying, you know, pace yourself? There's a lot of games left. There's a lot of...
Young man, it's a marathon, not a sprint. No, you just watch from afar. I don't say it. So, I didn't say much of anything, you know, as far as that was concerned, although there were a couple of people that were a little, they'd gone over the top, but they're kids, you know, what are you going to do?
I texted you, I don't know if it was yesterday or maybe it was earlier today, that I think this entire month, providing all goes well, is going to be, maybe it'll be like, okay, it was going to be kind of like spring break. You know, it'll be one of those things where you just kind of... there's constantly stuff going on, and it's a big celebration, and there's just so many cool things and a lot of memories being made. But it could also turn into one of those episodes of Locked Up Abroad, right, where you get tricked into smuggling some black tar heroin in from Singapore, and then it turns into a nightmare that just never ends. Because what's at stake here, and we kind of talked about it with Patty a little bit before we got on the air, is that what's at stake here is, and you can see it kind of happening, is this evolution. And it's different than when we've had those kind of lightning in a bottle teams that were pretty good.
Right.
And, or maybe had even a really great season, but you knew that you played good and you won games, but it wasn't that great of a team. Where now you look and you see these kind of more permanent building blocks in place, as permanent as sports can be, where you've got a change in the culture, you've got a change in just the way that ownership is being perceived, facilities, and just this mindset. You've got a very young team that just doesn't buy into any of that kind of Cub losing mentality.
No, and they buy into it. It's a unique group because they buy into the fact that they're, you know, multiple position players now. You've got guys that are, you know, playing all over the field. You know, it's like they don't have the same lineup every night because of the flexibility that they're...
There's too many good players.
Yeah, I never thought I would say that. We've mentioned this on the air before. I never thought I would ever say that we had too much talent where we couldn't even get guys on the field in a regular basis, because the guys in front of them are good, but then when they get in there, they get their chance and they do well too.
And here's the other side of it. It's one thing to have a lot of talent and then try to work them in to get them some work, but to have that talent also be completely and 100%, at least for the most part, okay with it. Like, yeah. It's not like they're all saying, geez, you know, I'm on the bench.
I gotta get in there.
Yeah, what's with this? I need to be on a team where I could be the star. I mean, and everybody has talked about, I think we've fully recognized just the value and the genius of a Joe Maddon and the very unique ability that he has to kind of take this team, blend all of everything that it is, and then get them to really, we've said buy in a few times, but just participate in his kind of vision for, hey, if you just, you know, if you do what I say, as crazy as it sounds, you know,
things are going to work out and you're going to be successful.
Things are going to work out. And when he sat there on day one, and this was, you know, 5 years into last place, and he said, yeah, I'm going to talk about playoffs and I'm going to talk about World Series, and he said it. And you thought, like, whoa.
This guy's out of his mind.
Well, he said, like, geez, that's, you know, when he's...
That's a lofty goal you're putting out
when
there.
When he's a broken shell of a man like a Lou Piniella in two years, he's going to regret when they keep playing that back for him. But he did it, and he's at least delivered on what appears to be... It's a totally changed team. However much success they have this year, you know, no one can say that because... You just never know. That's why you've got to play the games. And sometimes the best team on paper, probably oftentimes the best team on paper, just by the odds, doesn't end up winning the World Series. And, but it is, I mean, it's just a totally different situation. So do you think, Dino, as a guy who, you know, so much of what you, I don't know, you just identify with the Cubs as a lot of us do, as kind of longtime Cub fans. Can you feel some kind of sea change? Does it take a World Series appearance or win to completely change it? Or can you feel that, like, just the whole thing's kind of shifting?
Yeah, I do feel that it's starting to turn, and you know, the building blocks were in place last year with the success they had in that run at the end of the season, and then, you know, getting past the Cardinals in the playoffs. We do have to also give credit to the front office working with Joe Maddon to provide him with players that are multi-dimensional, that can do different things, because, you know, it's one thing to be able to put, you know, want to do that in your lineup. It's also another thing to have the ability to draft those players that, you know, can forecast into be able multi-positional players. And then also, you know, you go out and you get a Ben Zobrist, who already was a great utility player. Now you've got Baez, who's like the younger version of Zobrist. He's playing all over the field as well. And Chris Bryant, he plays left field. He plays third base. I mean, there's not a – it just seems like he's got a lot of things at his disposal that he can use on an everyday basis. And, you know, both him and management have worked together to get to that point where – and then the players have all, you know, also done that as well, as we talked about before, buying into it. It's important that they, you know – the plan has been in place for a couple of years since Theo Epstein got here, and it's nice to see that it's turning the corner, and it's actually what they said was going to happen is happening.
You can come out and say, hey, we're going to be terrible for a few years. We pretty much are confident you can deliver on that, but
yeah.
You know, we can do that ourselves. We don't need help.
We've had plenty of other people, though, say that, you know, this is what we're going to do and this is our goal, and then they just never get there.
The other side of it, and it's part of that whole so much talent on the team, is that you can have, and I think I was going to say, with the exception of Chris Bryant, but he's had kind of a tougher September. You know, he hasn't maybe played as well as he did, just, you know, but still he's amazing, right? So that's great. But you can have people like Hayward that are really playing below their potential when they came in as, you know, I don't want to, it wasn't a savior at this point, but it was like a key additional piece, and he hasn't delivered on that. But since the team is so successful, people, we've, you know, chirped about it a little bit, and you hear it, but it isn't a big deal. And even with Baez, you look at when he came up a couple years ago and was kind of anointed in the Rick Renteria era as, oh, this is going to be our savior. He's going to come up and he's going to hit a million home runs.
This is going to be a cornerstone of our franchise for a long time.
And you saw what the inexperience with all the talent in the world, and we've seen that demonstrated on the field, is you saw what that pressure kind of did. He felt like he needed to hit a home run every time.
Sure, he was swinging from his heels on every pitch, and he had to go back and reconstruct his swing a little bit and be more patient. And I think the overall approach for the team, he had to buy into that part of it, because if he goes up there as a free swinger and everyone else is taking pitches, you're going to stick out like a sore thumb, and you're not going to get on base, and then ultimately you're going to end up sitting on the bench more than you should.
You know, he's come out and really kind of showcased what is, I think, was not his initial recognized talent as just a great fielder. I mean, an amazing fielder, right?
Yeah.
Where he makes some really great – he is a highlight.
He could be a Gold Glove player at three different positions, really. I mean, second, third, and short. If he just played one of those full-time – he'd be a candidate every year for a Gold Glove. That's how good he is.
And still with the bat, too, essentially kind of winning the game today with a home run and being able to do that. So here's the thing, and we're going to talk about it after the break a little bit as well, is you look at what the Cubs have put together, and I was talking with a couple people earlier today about it, is I don't know, normally in a season you think as you're going into the playoffs, well, this person's got to get hot, or, well, this has to go right, or you really need to, you know, have the momentum for this part. You look at what they've put together, and I don't know how you would improve upon it. I don't know what you could, you know, and you talked about it, Dino, is like the management has given them, you've got Chapman, you know, to close, you've got all of these people in place to be, you know, one of the statistical best teams in history, and you are ready to go. But it was great. As soon as the game started, you realized wow, San Francisco's really good.
Yeah.
They've got a wild card tag on them, but this is an exceptional team, and it really does mean you're starting from scratch. It means nothing.
Yeah, and the thing with them is, you know, they've been through the wars. They've got a lot of experienced veterans on their team. They have a manager who's already done it three times, getting the World Series titles. And so you knew going into this, I personally was rooting for the Mets to win because I thought, you know, they were – with their rotation so banged up, I thought the Cubs would have an easier time with them. I knew San Francisco was going to be a formidable opponent, and, you know, tonight's game certainly proved that because, you know, both teams were just, it was just a matter of what team was going to get a break, and the Cubs got one when the ball was hit to Zobrist and it got past him. And, you know, the Buster Posey didn't score on that play. That, to me, that was their chance to either start an inning where it could have been multiple runs, and, you know, put a heavy load on the Cubs to match that. That play to me was what really turned all that around.
I felt like the first couple innings, you did see a little bit of rust in the fielding. Like the throws weren't as crisp, you know, and the,
sure.
And the fielding was a little bit off. But you could also see that it was just like it was. The game was so completely close. And it's that very fine line between, you know, being 0-1 and 1-0. And it makes all the difference in the world because, you know, you've got to win games to move on. And it just shows just how good of a team the Giants are. This is going to be one of those things in my mind beforehand. I think, well, what if they sweep through the series? You know, what if they sweep through all of the playoffs? I don't know that I see that happening.
Well, I don't. You talking about the Cubs not sweeping through all of them?
I don't. I just think every one of these games could be.
Oh no, there's going to be. They're going to lose a few. There's no question about that. I don't think that they're going to go into this and, you know, get 11 straight wins and then just that's it, the season's over. I think there's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some things that don't go right, and it's going to how they react to those things in a tight situation is going to make all the difference in the world in the, you know, in the playoffs now as far as how, you know, the story ends up getting written at the end of the season.
We're going to talk a little bit about the Cubs, your predictions. You can text in 312-981-7200. You can call in and share your Cubs thoughts as well, your excitement over the game or your fear about the, you know, what's coming up or maybe your predictions. It's Dane in for Matt here on 720 WGN. Thanks, Shante. 720 WGN, Dane Neal, Allstate Showcase Studio here on Michigan Avenue. On the, I guess, the it's the next day. It's the day after a big Cub victory. The first of what will be hopefully 11.
There'll be more baseball later today, Dane, at 7:15.
I know. What do you do? What do you do? Now, it's been a long day for you, Dino, and also in studio with me is oftentimes esteemed guest and the preeminent Harry Carey channeler, right? He doesn't just do, he doesn't do, what do they say, you know, an
impersonator, yeah, or ram. Right? Yeah,
he actually becomes the physical embodiment of the Budman Cub fan and brings out, you know, just the hairiness.
Holy cow, you're right about that, Dane.
And with everything that goes along with the Cubs, and you know, the things that I guess a lot of us just notice when you walk into your local Walmart and there, before you can even get in, there's a giant rack of Cubs shirts. These are the things I notice. There's also a lot of other, you know, events and coverage and things to do. And for you who've been doing kind of, you know, involved with the whole Cubs situation and as a Harry Carey stylist.
Yeah,
for a long time. You're busier than ever. I mean, this is...
Well, it's been... Yeah, I got to tell you, it's been a really...
It's been a drag.
It's been an interesting... No, it's been a really interesting week. It started out with an event at Harry Carey's on Tuesday. They did a Cub rally, so they had a lot of media there and did some interviews with some different, you know, little snippet things for different stations during the morning. It started out... They wanted me there at 4:30 in the morning, so we... It was a bright and early start on that one, but, yeah, so I ended up doing that all, and then, you know, did some good stuff there. Had a couple of nice clips we did, they got some good pictures and stuff. It was, that's always a good time. You know, Beth and, Grant DePorter over at Harry Carey's are great, you know, as far as that's concerned, is they come up with different things every year. His thing this year is that it's been 108 years. You know, that's been like the key number, and it turned out that, what was it tonight? Tonight's game, it was like the irony of the 108. All these scenarios with 100. He must have had 2 pages worth of things.
Like throughout history?
Yeah, everything. Like Ryan George Sandberg's Washington. Baseball card 1 year was number 108.
Whoa.
The one that I used a couple times tonight was, the Cubs have won their last title in 1908. It's been 108 years since they won. If you add those two together, you get 1908 and 108 equals...
I'm waiting.
2016.
No!
Yes. And so, and tonight, Grant text, he posted something on Facebook that said that the home run pitch was thrown. It was number, guess what number it was? For Cueto, how many pitches he had thrown when he got to 100? It was the 108th pitch.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this is freaky out now. How this stuff's coming out.
So where do the clowns fit in?
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we'll be getting on to that a little bit later in the program, but
wow.
It's just been and he was just all over that on Tuesday. He had a whole 2-page list of things. It was pretty amazing, really, to look at it and. But I just wanted to point that out because he posted that tonight on Facebook. But anyway, that event on Tuesday was great. And, you know, Joel Murray was there. Ryan Sandberg was there. We had all the local stations, you know, were there. So I was able to talk to a couple different people there. And Corey McFerrin from Fox and a couple others. And it was a lot of fun. I always have a good time doing that. And, you know.
Here's the thing, too, is, you know, there are some regular people within the team photo of kind of Cubs Nation locally, and they're out there, whether it's some of the, you know, ex-players, you know, or your Steve Trouts of the world.
Sure.
You know, they're just doing, you know, pitching camps, and they're just around. They've got a certain level of celebrity and a connection with the team. But Cubs Nation is a large, global, oftentimes embarrassed, but it's big, right? And there is a lot of celebrity types that also identify, you know, as Cubs fans, outside of Eddie Vedder, who was up there in Theo's.
Yeah, I saw that during the game when I happened to be inside. I was on a rooftop for the game tonight, and I happened to be inside for the minute, and I did see that where Ross hit that ball, and he seemed to think that was going to either go out of the park or something big was going to happen, and then he got, obviously was robbed of a hit on
he
a
was
great
robbed.
Play. He was. I mean, the guy made a great play in left field when that ball was hit, but yeah, I mean, he was. The look on his face was pretty good. It was pretty priceless.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so there's that. You know, we obviously it's going to be a big deal. You know, if the Cubs are able to do something, Eddie Vedder will be front and center. You know, leading the entire crowd in the Cub chants and
sure.
songs he's written.
And someday they'll go all the way. Yeah,
some of those things. But you're also seeing at this point, this is the time for people to, you know, from Hollywood or from wherever it is that they are, to come out of the woodwork and show up at the park. And I know you've run into people that, whether they have a Cub connection or not, are there kind of around some of the events. Like you were with Rick Springfield. Was it this morning?
Yeah, we did. Well, I got to say thanks to Betsy Shepherd. She did. She's a publicist for a lot of people here in the area. She's a publicist for Joel Murray, and we did it. There was a benefit tonight for Jason McKee and Brian and Amanda Bickle, their foundations. That's where I was at on the rooftop tonight. So. She got me hooked at set up for the couple of things with WCIU, and then also there was going to be something on Fox, but it never materialized. But they happened to be on the roof, and Rick Springfield was coming. He was a guest, so we were all hanging out. There was probably 6 of us because they were doing a. And then we had a rescue dog in the bleachers as well on the rooftop. No, it was just because it was about their foundations are about rescue dogs.
Oh, gotcha.
So yeah, and so then you know Rick Springfield showed up because he's doing a couple shows at the Genesee Theater,
which
and
is close
next
by.
Thing you know we're all in a picture with him, and he's literally like from me to you, and I'm sitting right next to him, you know, in the stands, and you know he seemed like a real nice guy.
Did you guys identify as? You know, specific entertainers with your own kind of niche and expertise. I mean, did you say, like, hey, Rick, they're going to ask me to talk like Harry Carey? And he's like, well, they're going to ask me to play Jesse's Girl. You know what I mean? Where
yeah.
You guys kind of
well, we connection. Didn't really exchange any things like that where you're, you know, yeah, they've pigeonholed me into this song or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, we didn't really get to talk about that. I didn't really talk to him all that much. I just said a few words to him. But he seemed like a nice enough guy. And, you know, he was up.
What do, I mean, and you didn't, but I'm sure there's so many things that you regret not saying to a Rick Springfield afterwards.
Well, like, if you had the opportunity to do that, yeah, I might have mentioned something to him. But
what?
Like, I do. Maybe I, you know,
you
just enjoy your
General
work.
Hospital.
You know, I just, you know, I like your music, and you know, I appreciate the work you do. I don't know. I mean, what, you know, besides, I don't know, what else do you say to him? What are you going to say? Your music sucks, and I didn't want to hear.
No, you wouldn't say that.
Of course
there
not.
Was two or three hits in there.
He had a good run in the '80s. It was some good stuff in there. I mean, I still have his music on my phone on my list now.
Okay.
But maybe I shouldn't admit that. No, I don't know. No, I enjoyed the guy. I thought he was always talented, and I enjoyed his music. So I'm like, you know, that's what I would have said had I had the opportunity. I just said it was nice to meet him.
What I thought was kind of interesting, and when you showed me the picture, there was a guy in full Cubs uniform. I thought it was maybe a relative of Ben Zobrist. It looked like someone that, you know, if he went by really quick on a bicycle,
yeah,
he'd get confused. and then you had Rick Springfield in kind of full. He was wearing his, like, you know, sequin sport coat and his, you know, kind of ripped jeans.
Yeah, he had, like, a dark jacket on, and, yeah, he looked like he was ready to go to a concert. I mean, he looked like he was, you know, he looked like a rock and roll guy to me. I mean, just when he walked in, he had that whole look, and that's what he does. But, yeah, so it was good. Had that opportunity to do that today, and then, of course, tonight with the benefit on the rooftop, you know, we had a real good time doing that, and Steve Trout was there, so... And he's always colorful. He's always an interesting interview to talk to him, or, you know, just ask him questions about, you know, different things and different scenarios. It was an interesting evening, no question about that.
Ask him questions about different things.